Hebrews chapter number 10 tonight. In verse number 19, Hebrews chapter 10, and verse number 19. Let's all stand in reverence and respect to the Word of God as we read from the Bible tonight. Hebrews chapter 10, we'll start with verse number 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. I want to talk to us tonight on this subject, the heart of prayer. A heart of prayer. Let's pray. Father, thank You so much for tonight. Thank You for this time. Please take this truth, make it real in our life for Your glory and honor. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. In our reading this evening, notice the writer of Hebrews was addressing the Jews who still thought that the only way they could approach God was by the high priest. The high priest could approach God and then approach the Ark of the Covenant, which represented God. And this concept of the common man and the ordinary man and the everyday man that could as one person approach God was a revolutionary concept to them. They still had a problem with it. They didn't feel that they could approach God on a one-on-one basis. Oddly enough, that was over 2,000 years ago. And today, we still have the same kind of problem. Many people still think that as a common person, an ordinary, everyday person, we can't approach God. We feel that we must have someone else do it. Someone who has been authorized by God as a high priest. Someone to go before us to Jesus Christ, who died for our sins. By the way, there is only one high priest today. That is Jesus Christ. And He is our high priest, and He did die for our sins, and He then allows you and I to come before the Ark of the Covenant and ask forgiveness for our sins as individuals. For Jesus Christ died, and He bridged that gap between God and man, and He created a way for man to go straight to our Heavenly Father and commune directly with God. God says that we can enter boldly into prayer with God by the blood of Jesus Christ. In 1 John, chapter number 1, and verse number 7, 1 John, chapter 1, verse 7 says this, "But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin." So let's get to the heart of everything here, and let's take a very close look at having the very heart of prayer. Number one, if you're a saved Christian, you can go fellowship with God in prayer anytime. As a saved Christian, you can go to fellowship with God in prayer anytime. I can go anytime. You can go anytime. Anyone can approach that great throne. If we are Christians, then we can follow what God has given to us and having fellowship with Him anytime we want. Isn't it comforting to know that? Yeah. Isn't it wonderful to know that God will take us anytime we want? Amen. We don't have to go to a specific place to get God's attention. You don't have to come to the church house to pray in order to get God's attention. You don't have to go give an offering at a synagogue somewhere to get God's attention. We don't have to go to a specific place in the woods and pray to get God's attention. All we have to do is pray, and we have God's attention. He's our Father. We can go to Him anytime we want to. It's an odd thing, but roles are kind of reversed on this earth when it comes to spending time with our Father. As a child, we stay home and we wait for our fathers to come home from work. Then we can spend time with them. We can fellowship with our dads, and we can speak to our dads. Then we get to ask our dads for the things we want and the things we need. And that's the time when he can give us the things that we want or the things that we need. However, with God, that's not true. He's in heaven, and he's waiting for us to come to him. We run around this old world all day long, and we're going to do this and that, and we get busy, and we're getting done what we want to get done, or when we're done with our day, we come to him as if now we finally have time for him. Then we ask him what we want. We fellowship for a little time, and we give him we get what we want, or we give him what we would like to receive, and then we run off and leave him again. Our Father's always waiting at home in heaven for us to come and speak to him. It's shown very clearly in the Lord's Prayer in Luke chapter 11, verses 1 and 2. It says, "And it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, When ye pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in earth, or in heaven, so is in earth." He's already in heaven. He's not too busy for you and I. We just need to come to him. And in fact, he's waiting for us to come to him. Because of that, number two becomes real. He's always with us. Our God is always with us. Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 20 puts it this way. "And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in heaven or things in earth." We can approach God on the merit of Jesus Christ's perfect sacrifice all the time. He made a way for us to be able to enjoy his presence all the time. In fact, he gave us the Holy Spirit to live in us and to help us, and to help us even to pray when we need his help to pray. In John chapter 14, verse 25, turn over there if you would. John chapter 14, in verse 25 through 27, it says this. John chapter 14, verse number 25. "These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth I unto you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid." So God's telling you and I that we have a connection, an immediate connection, a Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father has sent. And he'll teach us everything we need to know. And he'll bring to remembrance everything we need to know. And he's going to give us a peace inside our heart that the world can't give us. So we don't need to be afraid of anything, because he's right there with you and he's right there with me. We call him the Holy Spirit in other places. He's called the Holy Ghost here. But let me just call him the help us to realize tonight that he is the very Spirit of God himself. God's very Spirit is what lives in you and I. The Spirit of God. The one who dwells in us. The third person of the Trinity. He knows our thoughts. He understands who we are. He, the very Spirit of God himself. God's Spirit, called the Holy Spirit, called the Holy Ghost. He's holy because of this. The word holy means outward purity or cleanliness or internal purity or sanctification. Another definition of the word holy means to set apart for God's use or God's purpose. The Holy Spirit is God's Spirit that's set aside for His use, for His purpose. He's pure, He's clean, He's without sin, He's eternal. He also, another definition of it is to regard or deserving special respect or reverence. We should reverence God that dwells in you and I. Our body is the temple of God then. We need to be responsible for how we treat the temple that God has given to you and me. I need to treat that temple correctly. I need to care for that temple correctly. I need to make sure that I take proper care and loving that temple. Now, the Holy Spirit, God's Spirit lives in me, so I'm not going to pollute it. I'm not going to make it look terrible. I have a home, live in a house next door here, and I don't paint it on the outside with a bunch of garbage. I don't go out there and I don't spray paint a bunch of stuff that's on there, so why should we take our bodies and put a bunch of stuff on our bodies that shouldn't be there? I don't take the inside of my house and put a bunch of, catch it on fire so it smokes up real bad and stinks. So why should we let smoke into our house, into our body? I don't take the inside of that house and pour alcohol over all over it and make it into a wild thing. So why should we pour a bunch of alcohol inside of us or take a bunch of drugs inside of the temple that God's Spirit dwells in? We need to realize that God doesn't dwell in this house, this building here, this church building. This isn't where God lives. He lives in you and He lives in me. And I need to take care of me and respect me and the body that the Holy Spirit lives in like I respect the property. It's amazing. People will respect this property better than they'll respect their own body. We need to keep this property clean, that's true. We need to keep it in good condition, that's true. And we need to let folks know that this is where God's people come to gather together. But the truth is we need to be just that responsible with the bodies that God has given you and I. And we need to take care of it right. We need to guide it right. It needs to get its proper rest. Amen? It needs to get its proper exercise. It doesn't need to be polluted and contaminated with everything under the world. We need to keep it separate from the world. Remember, it's called the Holy Ghost. That means set apart for God's purpose or for God's use. That's what our body's supposed to be now. Set apart for God's purpose or for God's use. It means deriving a special respect or reverence. Do we give our bodies that special respect or reverence, or do we treat it like it's trash? You say, well, I don't treat my body that way. I wash it. I take care of it. Yeah. But sometimes the things we put in it and the things we do with it aren't respectable. So we need to realize that the Comforter, our intercessor, the Holy Spirit, our advocate, our Comforter, God's Spirit lives with you and I. And because of that, we have the presence of God with us all the time. Romans chapter 8 and verse number 15. In Romans chapter 8, verse 15 says, "For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." So He tells us to go to Him. He tells us to call on Him as our Father. And then in verse 16 of chapter 8, in the very next verse, "The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." So when I cry to God as my Father, and I cry unto Him as my Abba, Father, my Papa, or my Daddy, God's Spirit itself, the Spirit, capital S there meaning God's Spirit, beareth witness with our spirit, that little s means my spirit that's inside of me, that we are His children. So sometimes people say, well, how can I prove I'm saved? There is no litmus test, but I'll tell you what, one of the things you can know is that when God's Spirit witnesses to your spirit that you're His. And there's a lot of ways that God's Spirit witnesses to my spirit. The way He takes care of me, the way He guides me, the way He helps me. The way He answers my prayer. Then the Lord goes and tells us, if children, then heirs of God, in verse 17, and join heirs with Christ, if so be that you suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. So I can go to my Father anytime I want because I'm His child. My home is waiting for me. He's at home. He's waiting for me to call upon Him. He's there waiting for me to talk to Him. So I'm not in bondage. I don't have to worry about it till fear. I have the spirit of adoption. I'm adopted into His family. I'm a joint heir with Christ. The Holy Spirit lives in me. He beareth witnesses to my spirit. So I should have the right, and I do have the right, and you have the right to go to God in prayer anytime you want to. Romans 8:15 again, "For we've not received the spirit of bondage to fear, but received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." And I've told you before, that means Papa or Daddy. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, in verse number 12, the Bible says, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world." Well, that's interesting. Let me read that again. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. For we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. So the world does have a spirit and it tries to get to you and me. So we have an enemy called the world, we have an enemy called the flesh, we have an enemy called the devil, and it's always trying to get us to do what they want us to do. But God says, that's not the spirit that you and I have in us anymore. The spirit we have now is the spirit of God Himself. So He wants us to know that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. So God doesn't want us to be ignorant. He wants us to know the truth. Isaiah 56 and verse number 5. Even unto them will I give in mine house, and within my walls a place and a name better than the sons and of daughters. I will cut them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. Look at that. He gives us a name better than that of sons and daughters, he says. So why is it that we're afraid to go to him? Well, you just ought to go to him as child of father. You don't have to come to me to go to him. You don't have to come to the church to go to Him. You don't have to go to you don't have to be a perfect person to go to Him. Our sins are already covered. We saw that at the very beginning. Our sins are covered by Jesus Christ. So in His power and His might, I can go to Him. There's a story I heard told of a family who took their young son to visit their grandmother one summer day. That night they were having family prayer and the boy stood up to pray. And he said, "Dear Lord, bless mommy and daddy and grandma and all my friends. And Lord," then he began to shout, "I really would like a new bike." "God isn't deaf," his parents told him. "I know," he replied, "but grandma's in the next room." Yeah, that's kind of like how we are, aren't we? We want other people to answer our prayer rather than go to God and let Him answer our prayer. Friends, we need to realize that God always is available to talk to you and I. He's our friend. He's our family. He's our God. Our friends may fail us and our family may hurt us. Our co-workers may disappoint us. But God's always ready to help us in a time of need. We can approach His throne boldly because Jesus Christ shed His blood. Isn't that an amazing fact? It says I can boldly come to Him. Not just sheepishly come to Him. I'm not sure if I can do this, but boldly, just walk right in. Sit right down and tell the Lord exactly what's on my heart and my mind. I don't have to knock, wait for Him to answer. I don't have to go sheepishly and say, "Oh Lord, do you have time to talk to me today? Oh God, you don't know what I've done wrong." Oh, no, boldly. That's not how somebody comes in boldly. They just walk on in. Regardless of what's going on or what has happened in their life, boldly they walk in. And that's what God says that we can do. Boldly come to the throne of grace. I love that. I love to know that I'm always welcome to Him. The Almighty, the Creator of the universe invites you and I to come to Him each and every time we want to. If the President of the United States told you that you are welcome at the White House anytime you want to talk to Him, wouldn't you feel honored? Yet the God of the universe, the great Creator, the Almighty God, the King of Kings, the Lord Himself, God Himself not only invites us to talk with Him anytime, He wants us to talk to Him all the time. He loves you and I enough to have died on the cross and created a way for you and I to talk to Him. So why not seize the opportunity? Make talking to Him a part of our everyday life. Don't take this wonderful opportunity for granted. We need to talk to Him every day, starting today. Without question, without wonder, without whining, boldly. Spend time at home with your daddy. That's a good thing. But to spend time at home with your Heavenly Father is a better thing. So let's not wait. Let's do that as quickly as we can. Coming boldly into the kingdom of our great God and asking Him for whatever we need. Father, I thank You for what we've learned tonight. And I ask, Holy